Jesus said, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. On this lovely autumn morning, welcome to worship at Cramond Kirk. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With the church and the manse and the church halls all being built in the site of an old Roman fort, Roman coins are, well, 10 a penny. Cramond's local museum, the Maltings, holds a great collection of Roman artifacts, including pottery, nails and coins. Perhaps you'll recall the excitement some years ago when a lioness was found in the River Amond. There was also excitement when one of our young people discovered a coin stamped with the name of the Emperor Hadrian. You can only imagine the journey that brought that coin so far from to this far-flung outpost of the Roman Empire. Ceiramon, the fort on the river, is still yielding up its treasures. And there's treasure to be found in this morning's Gospel, a story about a Roman coin. Matthew tells us about a trap the Pharisees set for Jesus. Praising him to be a man of integrity, the Pharisees ask if it's right for people to pay tax to Caesar. Now, if Jesus said it was indeed right to pay tax to Caesar, he risked losing the respect of the common people, who understandably objected to any payments being made to the Roman emperor. But if he said the tax should not be paid, he would be guilty of challenging Caesar's authority. He could be reported to the Romans for sedition. So tell me, what would you have done? As you ponder that, let's listen to the story. And this morning it's read by our church secretary, Louise Madeley.
Let us hear the word of God. The reading is taken from the New Testament, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and reading from verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Amen.
Thank you, Louise. As you heard, Jesus' response was as simple as it was profound. The coin bore the image of Caesar. The Greek word is icon. And so Jesus suggested it was right, it was proper to pay such tax as was appropriate to the emperor and the civic authority. But as human beings, we bear the icon, the image of God. And so our way of life, our values, our priorities ought to honour God. It was a brilliant answer, not least because implicit within it is an invitation for people, for you and me, to explore the question of ultimate belonging. In the words of this commentator, to be honest about whose empire we serve, whose economy we trade in, whose benevolence we depend upon, and whose salvation we seek. God and mammon, religious doctrine and civil authority, church and state. From biblical times, it is evident these two spheres of influence have enjoyed, if that's the right word, a long and troubled history. Drawing upon Paul's letter to the church in Rome, where the apostle urged obedience to the civil authorities because they were appointed by God, the great reformer Martin Luther came to the view that from a Christian perspective, the civil authorities enjoy a legitimate role in public life. They should be respected. However, Luther sought to place limits on that role, claiming that while it extended to life and property, and what was, as he described, external upon the earth, the authority of the state did not extend to the spiritual dominion, to an individual's conscience. Over the soul, said Luther, God can and will let no one rule but him. Private, public, someone's personal faith conviction set against their public duty and obligation. As a new person is elected to the Supreme Court in the United States, to what extent do you think her faith convictions about the sanctity of life should influence her public judgments on the question of abortion? And closer to home, how does a biblical commitment to respecting civil authority square with our conscience when we are told where we can and cannot go, and whom we can and cannot meet, whether it's our grandchildren or sick, elderly, frail, or even dying relatives? Difficult? Yes, it is. And therein lies the challenge to each of us to work out how best to embed our Christian values of compassion and generosity and forgiveness and hospitality and justice, to reconcile them, our public life with our private life, our home and family life, as much as our politics, our community life. Questions of poverty, of global warming and greenhouse gases, the use and threatened use of nuclear weapons. As I look back over my years at Crammond, the support we've given and continue to give to Fresh Start fills me with hope. It fills me with hope because this is an example of what it looks like when personal faith and public responsibility are connected with one another. We're all familiar with the wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. If it's one thing to ask what that parable invites us to believe, that we shouldn't walk past on the other side of human need, someone homeless, it's quite another to ask, what kind of life does this parable commit us to living? There's also the parable of the Last Judgment, the Son of Man coming in his glory to separate the sheep and the goats. Again, ask about what this parable invites us to believe. But quite another to ask, what kind of life does it commit us to living when we see someone hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison? A stranger, homeless? Private faith, public life, personal conviction, public responsibility, however difficult, however challenging. As we hear of Jesus and his encounter with the Pharisees, Will you do as Jesus asked? Will you render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar? And will you give to God the things that belong to God? Thanks be to God. Let us pray. From you the earth comes forth and all that moves upon it, the rhythm of the seasons, the miracle of life. From you the heavens unfold the unexplored depths of this ever-expanding universe, the sun and moon in their place, the dancing light of countless stars. And from you we have come, women and men of every colour, each one of us made in your icon, your image. Holy and eternal God, open our hearts to the love that surrounds us. Open our minds to the truths you would teach us. Come with healing for our wounds and comfort for our sadness. Come and bless us with peace. God of mercy, for the things we have done which we now regret, for the times we have acted without love and reacted without thought, for the days when doubt has assailed us and we've lost our way, and for our complicity in the world's pain and distress, we confess our sin and pray your forgiveness. By your redeeming grace, grant us healing, pardon, and the opportunity to amend our ways. Great and powerful God, you call us to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before you. And yet we know only too well in our lives and in the lives of others the times and places where justice is absent and the world appears forsaken, where the earth lies polluted and hunger and poverty find no respite, where cities are battered into ruins and nations tear themselves apart, where wickedness prospers and hope is nowhere to be found. In the sure conviction none of this is your will for us or for all creation, we pray for Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh and for those risking life and limb crossing the English Channel, for farmers in Kenya, and for every community suffering the catastrophic effects of climate change, for girls denied education and the opportunity to fulfill their potential in life, and for all who experience discrimination. As Jesus heard a beggar's cry and felt a woman tug his cloak, inspire us to see the world not as it is, but the world as you want it to be. To imagine life not as we experience it now, but in all its fullness as promised by Christ our Lord. Renew the life of your church. Teach us what it looks like to be a good neighbour to people who are homeless, to stand with those most in need of your help, support and love. Renew the life of our nation. Guide our politicians and those who are advising them. Prosper the work of medical scientists researching treatments and vaccines for COVID-19. And as lockdown restrictions are tightened, draw close to all who feel worried, anxious, and afraid. Bless our homes. Bless our families. Hold in your healing presence and power those who are sick, lonely, or in any form of need. Awaken us to the new thing you are bringing forth in the world and in our lives. Let our days be marked by generosity and kindness, and in all the activities and encounters of the coming week, let faith be evident in what we say and think and do. Hold us, hold all for whom we pray in the love of our Saviour Christ. For in his name we pray together, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Go now in the love and in the peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and evermore. Amen.